You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
It is, summer's winding down. I mean, it's still summer, a little bit longer?
A little bit longer.
It's the season where a lot of us have been out and enjoying the great outdoors and just really taking advantage of it. I know I've been out a little bit on the trails this summer. I know you've been on your
mountain biking quite a bit, yeah. And, finally, once the rain stopped.
Enjoying the great outdoors. But many of you perhaps have heard of this story of individuals developing an allergy, particularly to meat, after having an encounter with a tick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, did that happen to you?
It did happen to me last year. And while I think my story is somewhat interesting, I wanted to hear the story from another person's perspective and share that story with you because other people are far more interesting than me. Thanks to Concordia University Wisconsin for supporting the Coffee Hour. You can find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin at cuw.edu.
Live uncommon.
Joining us by phone today is Jennifer Burton. She's founder of Alpha Gal Encouragers of Northwest Arkansas. Jennifer, thanks for joining us on the Coffee Hour.
Thank you for inviting me.
And so gracious to share your story with us today and to bring along your doctor, Dr. Tina Merritt of Allergy and Asthma Clinic of Northwest Arkansas. Dr. Merritt, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you for inviting me.
Dr. Merritt, what is alpha-gal syndrome?
Well, it started in 2004 with a cancer drug that people were having life-threatening allergic reactions on the first dose. And it took a little while to figure it out, but it turned out it was this carbohydrate on the cancer drug that comes from mammals called alpha-gal. And Dr. Platts Mills in Virginia, where I trained, was bitten by a bunch of baby sea ticks, and he developed this allergy to alpha-gal. He already had a slight allergy before when we were doing the test for this cancer drug, and he had never had the cancer drug. And so it turned out it's because he was allergic to this mammal sugar, glycoprotein, and he figured out it was the tick bites. And from there, it's kind of balloons, but it turned out that they had described this in Australia about 30 years before, and there was an allergist there that noted people that had tick bites were developing this beef and pork allergy. And then the unusual thing about it is that people develop delayed reactions, so they may not always put it together that it was the burger they ate at 6 that caused the hives at 2 in the morning, and it can actually develop into full-blown life-threatening allergic reactions.
Jennifer, are you an outdoorsy type? Do you spend a lot of time outside? Had you been in areas where there were ticks?
I live near Beaver Lake. Our property kind of overlooks it. We have 2 1/3 acres, and of that, about 1.5 acres of it is fenced off for our chickens and my gardens and fruit trees and berry vines. So, yes, I was outdoors quite a bit in my gardens, and yes, I got tick bit year after year.
Tell us about learning the stages of symptoms and then learning that you also have alpha-gal.
Well, mine were sort of not knowing what it was. Mm-hmm. I was going through deteriorating health. I was battling the escalating allergic reactions that we get from alpha-gal, which in my case was extreme fatigue and joint pain and inflammation. I was having rashes, GI distress. In the middle of the night, I would wake up vomiting with diarrhea and have just horrendous hives. My last anaphylaxis episode was on February 28th of 2017, and that one was nearly fatal. But it was over about an 8 to 9 month period that it got just increasingly worse.
Yeah. How did you make that step of finally figuring out that it was a tick bite and that it was alpha-gal?
I didn't make that connection. The morning after my near-fatal anaphylaxis, my husband insisted that I contact our primary care doctor and said, you know, I'm not going to watch you die. She's mm-hmm. got to figure out what this is. Mm-hmm. That bout took me about 3 days to recover from, and she went ahead and ordered a food blood panel. And when the results came back, it didn't make any sense. It came back that I was highly allergic to beef and dairy, and she had no idea why, so she just
simply sent me a list of allergists. The really strange thing is, about a week or before, a week or so before my allergist appointment, my supervisor shared a podcast with me, and he knew that I had been out several times with hives and been really ill over the past several months. And it was a podcast he'd heard about Alpha-Gal. And when I heard it, I thought, are you kidding me? I'm really allergic to beef. And it really is being caused by a tick bite. That's insane. It did not make any sense to me. And then I met my new allergist, Dr. Merritt, and after reviewing my new patient's packet, she said, so, do you want to talk about Alpha-Gal? And I said, do you think that's what it is? And she said, I know that's what it is. I've had it for over 30 years. I just remember screaming inside, thank you, Lord, what a blessing, somebody who knows exactly what I'm going through. It was definitely a godsend. Mm-hmm.
Dr. Merritt, is Jennifer's story fairly common with the Alpha-Gal allergy experience?
Yes, and a lot of times people don't get diagnosed right away. We have a state representative here in Arkansas who had 6 emergency room visits before they figured out what it was. And one of her reactions was to a Pop-Tart because there's gelatin in a Pop-Tart. I mean, it's things that you just wouldn't think of.
Mm-hmm. Sure. You know, we've mentioned beef and pork, and that seems pretty easy to narrow down and for many people to eliminate from their diet. But it's not as simple as just cutting out, you know, here in St. Louis, cutting out all the pork steaks out of your diet or all the hamburgers. But give us some examples of things, Dr. Merritt, that food items and other items that we need to be mindful of if one develops this Alpha-Gal syndrome.
So with the food items, it's anything mammal, so beef, pork, lamb. It's also things that you wouldn't think about, like gravies. If it's a dark gravy, it usually has the drippings from either beef or pork. Lard, like in refried beans in a restaurant, can be from a mammal. Natural flavorings could be mammal. There's a lot of things that are kind of hidden for the people that have this allergy. The other thing is some of us are sensitive to gelatin, which is usually mammal-derived. So gummy vitamins, things you wouldn't think about, like marshmallows have gelatin, Altoid mints have gelatin, Kellogg's Frosted Mini Wheats have gelatin. So you have to check like pretty much every food product and also supplements. And then medications can also have different products, the binders and pills. There's something called magnesium stearate. It's usually from a mammal unless it specifies it's from a plant source. There's some medicines that have pre-gelatinized starch. So I was reacting to one of my medicines for 6 months before I asked my pharmacist, and it turned out there was pre-gelatinized starch in the pill. So it's not just the capsules. Mm. And then a lot of medicines do come in capsules. So we also have to switch medicine sometimes to like a liquid because they may not have mammal products. But then we have to check the liquid for glycerin to see if it's a mammal product. So the pharmacists have to get involved, and so a lot of them aren't very familiar with Alpha-Gal and have to get educated about it as well. And then sometimes products, so like makeup, we have to use vegan makeup, soaps. A lot of times the bar soap is from a mammal product, so we have to use the liquid soap if it comes from a plant source for the glycerin. And people are reacting to things that you wouldn't think of, like their pet's dog food, because it's from a meat product usually. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That is a long, long list. I have a different health issue that causes me to have to look at different labels in different ways. So I have a tiny bit of understanding of what all three of you go through.
But deodorant.
Yeah. I mean, it can literally be nearly anything that you have to research. And I can feel like the overwhelming panic and anxiety that can set in when you realize what you're up against. Jennifer, what was the most challenging thing for you after your initial diagnosis? What was that like for you right after that moment?
Well, like you said, the diagnosis is devastating. I mean, its implications are overwhelming, at least, to say the least. I mean, I'm one of the ones who, about 50% of us, are dairy sensitive as well. Mm-hmm. And I'm one of those. So it wasn't just, you know, meats and all of the things that she, you know, told me about, the bath and body and hand soaps and even personal care things. But for me, I think the most challenging thing was grief, the entire grieving process. I mean, despite being trained in the care and outreach ministry, I didn't really realize that's what I was going through. I know grief may sound strange, but I mean, that's a big part of your life that's suddenly being said, you can't have this anymore. You have to give it up. It's going away. So about the first 10 days, I primarily sat in my jammies and went through the support sites. She had told me to go out and look at the Facebook support sites for Alpha Gal and go through the products, and I was ordering saved ones. I mean, I sat there looking at the lamb roast that I had ready for Easter, and we just bought 50 pounds of grass-fed beef, and I thought, what do we do now? So grieving was really kind of, it's a big loss. I mean, I come from a large family, and food is a social thing. Hey, let's meet up for dinner or lunch. And you've got church potlucks, and you've got family reunions and barbecuing. And yeah, and we put our son through culinary school. I don't cook the way, I still don't cook the way most people do with prepared food. So it's really hard to wrap your brain around.
Who helped you through those challenges? I know you have a great allergist. Who else helped you through those challenges? And we have just about a minute before we have to wrap up this segment. I know we have more story to share, but just about a minute to share with us who helped you through those challenges.
Well, that would be my husband. He's always been there for me, and he's just a loving, caring husband and stepfather and servant, and he just kind of watched me go through the grieving period, and one day it dawned on me, and I said, I've been going through this process, and he kind of got a grin, and I said, you've known this all along, and why didn't you say something? And he said, because I knew you had to go through it on your own. I just needed to be here for you until you figured it out. So there's many of us who end up in divorces or families break up and things happen because of this allergy. And I'm one of the fortunate ones who has that support from him.
Dr. Merritt, with just a little bit of time left, those who are, some advice, some recommendations for us, for those who are outdoors folks, you know, who like to be outdoors or live in rural communities where, you know, we live in maybe a wooded subdivision, things like that. Advice for us on how to avoid this and then what to do if we suspect we may have had an encounter with a tick.
So there are several websites about how to reduce your exposures to ticks, usually insect repellents. There are some that are safe and that, you know, may not contain the chemicals that some people don't want to use on their skin. And you want to try and prevent the tick bites. But then once something gets on you, you have to be careful about how you remove it as well. You don't want to just, you know, yank the tick off because it might leave part of the mouth parts in there. You don't want to squeeze it because then that would release anything that's in their saliva, you know, into your skin. And so there's special ways to, release the tick. And there's actually little devices that will pull the tick straight out. Sometimes people use oils and things that may make the tick kind of smother and back out. And then there's products that you can spray on the tick that's supposed to kill them. There's some that were meant for pets, but you can actually use them on humans. There's one that's called Toto, T-O-T-O, like the dog on Wizard of Oz. And that's actually manufactured with a company called Tick Warriors out of North Carolina. But there's a spray that you can put on the tick that's supposed to kill them.
And if you suspect that you may have, you've had an encounter with a tick and, you know, or you're starting to demonstrate some symptoms.
So this allergy, this is my assumption just based on my experience, is going to show usually 2 months after the tick bite, and it's usually going to show as a delayed reaction. So six hours usually after the bite, or sorry, after you eat, you may get some itching skin, stomach problems, and then, like I mentioned, sometimes full-blown anaphylaxis. It usually shows up quicker if you've had a second bite, so it usually is within 2 weeks. So I had this allergy in the fourth grade after tick bites at Girl Scout camp with little baby sea ticks. By fifth grade, I was doubled over in pain on hamburger day, and I didn't get diagnosed till I was 18 with a class 4 beef and pork allergy. So I avoided it for many years, and then I was negative. So I went ahead and chewed one piece of steak and went unconscious, but I was living out by Beaver Lake where Jennifer lives, and I had been bitten by a tick about 2 weeks before.
Wow, so you've experienced it twice. Goodness.
Well, now a third time. So I was bitten 2 years ago, and my allergy went from negative to 13 for the amount of antibody to alpha-gal.
Wow.
And then I'm currently negative on blood tests, but I don't chance it because of my history.
Mm-hmm.
Our guest today, Dr. Tina Merritt, the Allergy and Asthma Clinic of Northwest Arkansas. Dr. Merritt, thank you so much for joining us for the Coffee Hour today.
Well, thank you.
And Jennifer, stick around. We have more of your story to share, where this has gone from there, how you've taken this particular syndrome that it seemed to turn your life upside down and took that as an opportunity to reach out and serve others. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.